Would ye have a young virgin of 15 years? You must tickle her fancy with sweet and dears, ever toying and playing, and sweetly, sweetly sing a love sonnet to charm her ears. Wittily, prettily talk her down, chase her and praise her if fair or brown, soothe her and smooth her and tease her and please her, and touch but her smicket, and all's your own. Do ye fancy a widow well known in men, with a front of assurance come boldly on, be at her each moment, and briskly, briskly put her in mind how her time steals on? Rattle and prattle although she frown, rouse her and towse her from morn till noon, and show her some hour you are able to grapple, and get but her writings, and all's your own. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about something that's been suggested to you, to me by one of you, and that is marriages and relationships that have big age gaps. Why is it that some men marry women who are much, much older than themselves, and some men marry women who are much, much younger than themselves? That, of course, being the general trend. Why does this relationship exist? But why is it taken to extremes? The norm, of course, is for there to be some kind of age gap, normally in the direction that the man is a bit older than the woman. And cross-cultural data indicates that difference on average is about 3.5 years. It is bigger in developing countries and third world countries. In Africa, parts of Africa, the average is about 7 years. And in China and Japan and Korea and the West, to a certain extent, the difference is 1 or 2 years. But in general, there is always that gap. That is the norm, that men will marry younger women. But what happens when this is taken to extremes? How do you explain very large age gaps? Who would marry someone who was much older or much younger than themselves? And that is what I want to look at today. So, first of all, let's look at why these age gaps exist. Well, the reason comes down to differences in life history strategies. So a man has nothing to lose from the sexual relationship. If he wants to, he can copulate with as many people as he can get away with all the time. And so consequently, he is more promiscuous. He wants to have more sex, and he wants to have sex with as many people as he can. Now, he has nothing to lose. He can't get pregnant. Now, to the extent that he is selective, what he is going to select for is evidence of youth and beauty. Beauty, symmetrical face, feminine features, whatever, implies good genetic health, low mutational load, because if you have high mutational load, then you won't be able to produce a symmetrical phenotype against environment, because you'll be using proportionately more of your bioenergetic resources to fight off disease and infection and whatever. So therefore, he will select for beauty. He will also select for youth. Why? Well, in general, youth is associated with beauty, and the reason is because youth is a mark of fertility. Within certain age boundaries, the younger a woman is, the more likely she is to get pregnant, be able to have children, pass on his genes. And so therefore, in the prehistory, men who were sexually attracted to younger women would have been more likely to pass on their genes, all else being equal. And so, of course, it makes sense that men are attracted to youth. Now, in some instances, in itself, they're attracted to youth because it will help you to pass on your genes, and also aging slowly is a sign of genetic good health. But in general, it's going to mean that you're more likely to pass on your genes, and therefore you can see why men would be attracted to youth in itself, and why there'd be variation in the population, and some men would be specifically attracted to women who were considerably younger than themselves, not just 2 years, but 10 years, or maybe more. And indeed, there was some research indicating that the optimum thing a man should do if he wants to ensure that he passes on the most of his genes possible under evolutionary conditions is go for a woman that is as much as 15 years younger than himself by the time he reaches about the age of 25. You know, late 20s, something like that. So men are attracted to youth. Now, with women, it's a bit different, of course. With women, they do have something to lose from the sexual encounter because they can become pregnant. This will leave them essentially disabled for months and months and needing someone to look after them. They are more likely to survive, therefore, and their offspring are more likely to survive if somebody does look after them, if the man looks after them, if the man, rather than simply pump and dump, is prepared to invest in them. Now, he's more likely to be able to invest in them if A, he has the inclination to invest in them, and B, he has resources, he has high socioeconomic status, allowing him to invest in them. Therefore, women, although women do sexually select for looks, they select for male beauty, they select for muscularity, strength, they select for height, they select for physical traits. They are more interested in men in psychological traits, and in particular in the socioeconomic status of the male, because the higher his socioeconomic status is, the more likely he'll be able to invest in them and make sure that they and their offspring survive. Now, a proxy for socioeconomic status, to a certain extent, is age, because the older a man is, the more likely he is to have attained reasonable socioeconomic status. And so therefore you can see why women would be, if you can just judge people by appearances, and that's all, therefore women would be more likely to be sexually attracted to age, without knowing anything about the male in question, without having yet even bothered to find out what his resources are. It makes sense in an unstable ecology, we're able to make quick decisions, live fast, die young, to be sexually attracted to age, because age is likely in males to be associated with socioeconomic status. So that's the fundamental thing. That is why men are sexually attracted to youth, to people with women who are younger than them, because they're more fertile. It's a proxy for fertility and good genetic health. And women are more likely to be attracted to men who are older than them, because it's a proxy for socioeconomic status and therefore the survival of the offspring. Now, you're going to get all kinds of, it should be emphasized, there's variation there. Men do take into account the socioeconomic status of the woman. Men do realize that their offspring is more likely to survive if the woman has a certain kind of personality that is loving and high in impulse control and high in agreeableness. They do take into account personality. They don't want to be cuckolded, and therefore they want a woman who is not going to cuckold them, and therefore high in agreeableness, high in rule following, high in conscientiousness. And they do take into account, of course, socioeconomic resources. They are partly mercenary. It's going to help them under Darwinian conditions in which, remember, wealth, a person's socioeconomic status predicted how many surviving offspring they have. The socioeconomic status of the female and her family and what they can bring to the table is important. And equally, as I said, the other way around, women will take into account physical traits as signs of the man's health and whatever. But that is the general trend. So men sexually attracted to people who are young, women who are younger than them, a bit younger than them, women sexually attracted to men who are a bit older than them. Now, what is, as I say, the general trend across the world is 3 years. So what about if this is taken to the extremes? That's what's interesting. You get these couples, you don't get very many of these couples, but you do get these couples where this is taken to the extreme. In America, according to recent data, 8.5% of marriages are between people where the age gap is 10 years or more. Of these, 7.2% of the marriages involve males who are 10 years or more older than the females. And the remaining one, whatever it is, small, whatever it is, 1. Whatever percent of the marriages involve females who are much older, 10 years or more older than the males. Now, that's to be expected that it's that way round, because, of course, the evolutionary norm is for women to be attracted to older men and for men to be attracted to younger women. And so it makes sense that you would get that situation where there will be outliers. There will be those that, for whatever evolutionary reason, it makes sense to be attracted to age, to older men or younger women. And so consequently, this in particular individuals, there can be population variance in how much older than you find attractive, or how much younger than you find attractive. And so it makes complete sense that you're going to get some people, you're going to get a small minority of the population who are attracted to people that are much older or much younger, and the difference is 10 years or more. But they are a minority, they are outliers, and older, even more than 10 years, is extreme outliers. And so my question is, what is it that characterises these people? What kind of people are attracted to large age gaps in the extreme? Well, in the extreme, what you're dealing with is really a kind of trade-off. So if you are a woman and you are sexually attracted to very old men, then what you are very, 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 very interested in indeed is status, is their socioeconomic status, is their money, is their wealth. You are effectively a gold digger, and you are trading this for other things which we would also expect you to be interested in. There are a number of different issues which people are attracted to, which people are interested in people, if they are, well, let's say a woman. One of them is socioeconomic status. Another one is physical health, how good looking the person is. Another one is muscularity, how likely they are to be able to defend them in fights. Another one is the kind of personality they have, particularly pro-social personality. Are they high in conscientiousness, high in agreeableness? Are they going to make a good husband and a good father? That kind of thing. Another one is their intelligence. Intelligence itself is associated with socioeconomic status, but it's also associated with various ways of behaving and with being more trusting and being more kind and things like this. And so there's all of these different... Another one is genetic similarity. We tend to be sexually attracted to people that are genetically similar to ourselves. And so, because it means that we pass on more of our genes if the person is genetically similar to ourselves, and the average is about 1% above the baseline. So on average, people tend to be sexually attracted to people that are the genetic equivalent of their third cousins. So all of these factors are relevant to why a woman will be attracted to a man. And so if she's trading in all those simply for socioeconomic status, simply for how wealthy he is, then you have to ask yourself what's going on. Now, this brings me back to what I was talking about earlier, life history strategy. You have R and K strategy. The R strategy is basically you're evolved to an unstable ecology, you live fast and you die young. The ecology is easy, but it's unstable. You can be wiped out at any minute. You live fast and you die young. And that means that what you're interested in is just getting on with it. You're interested in sex, you're interested in passing on your genes, you're interested in advertising your sexuality, that kind of thing. That's the extreme. Now, those kinds of people create weak social bonds, because there's no point heavily socially bonding with somebody and creating strong reciprocal relations, because they could be wiped out the next day and there will never be any payback. So they create weak social bonds, and they tend to be low, therefore, in altruism, which is being empathetic and loving towards other people, and in rule following and conscientiousness, and therefore in exchange. Now, as the ecology becomes more stable and more harsh, the carrying capacity for the species is reached, and therefore the members of the species start to compete against each other. Now, what this militates in favour of is taking energy away from investing it in just in sex and just having sex with as many people as you possibly can and just hoping that some of your offspring survive, which is the R strategy thing, live fast, die young, to a K strategy, whereby you take energy away from sex and you ensure that your children, your offspring, survive in this very difficult, highly competitive ecology by nurturing them, by investing your energy in a smaller number of offspring to make sure that they actually survive and can compete. And you're also more likely to survive in such an ecology if you're part of a group, because groups are more likely to survive under harsh conditions than individuals are. And so consequently, the nature of these people changes, and they become higher in cooperation, they become higher in being loving and bonding, higher in conscientiousness, higher in intelligence, because there's more complex, difficult problems to solve because you're competing with other people and you need to find a niche and whatever. And so you have this R and K continuum, and we all sit somewhere on the RK continuum. Now, people who are K strategists, as I say, what's important to them is strong social bonds. What's important, that's the really crucial thing. Strong social bonds, all the better to nurture you with and be loving and love you with. And therefore, K strategists will tend to engage in what's called assortative mating. So K strategists will generally be quite inclined to sexually select for people that are quite similar to them, and they will create very strong bonds and personality and whatever. And that's the important thing. Now, of course, if you are an extreme R strategist, then bonding doesn't, and part of bonding, of course, is going to be having things in common, having things to talk about, having things to bond about. Now, if you're a woman and you are considerably younger than the man in whom you have a relationship, then none of these things are going to matter to you. If he's much, much, much older than you, you're probably not going to have a great deal in common. It's going to be more difficult. If the issue for you is extreme age, if that's the thing you're into, then you are trading all those other things simply for the issue of age. And the evolutionary factor involved in that, of course, is investment, is a desire for investment, is a desire for wealth, is the issue of the socioeconomic status of the male. So you are trading all those factors, genetic similarity and whatever, that would help you to bond with the other person, that would create a stable, loving relationship. You are trading all those things for age. That's the thing that seems to really interest you. So, therefore, what you would expect is that people that were really, really were prepared to accept a big age difference, and that were therefore prepared to accept not being particularly sexually attracted to the partner, not finding him arousing, not finding him a turn on, perhaps that he's not particularly genetically similar, or whatever. Those people would basically be gold. diggers, because those people are not interested in bonding and creating strong social bonds. Because if you're attracted to somebody, if you're physically attracted to somebody, in part perhaps because you're genetically similar to them, then this will help to create strong social bonds. But they're not interested in that. So, consequently, they're gold diggers. And there's good evidence for that, that when women are much older than men, investment and a desire for investment is the factor that predicts, when you interview them, what they're doing. They say, what is it that motivates you in relationships? What is it that you want? And what they say they want is a desire for investment. So what this demonstrates is that women who have much, much older husbands, who are highly attracted to men who are much older than them, are basically gold diggers. What they are motivated by is a desire for the financial investment of the male. They are not motivated by, otherwise they'd say so, these other factors, such as bonding and love and these kind of K strategy factors. So they are basically R strategists. They create weak social bonds, and then what they desire is investment. Now, consistent with this, it has been found that age-similar marriages are happier and longer-lasting than age-dissimilar marriages. And indeed, age-dissimilar marriages, although they start happier, so there's a sudden burst at the beginning when they're happy, they soon break down and they are more likely to end in divorce. Now, this makes sense, because if people are similar in age, then the whole nature of the relationship is going to be, can be predicted to be more balanced. It's not skewed in one particular direction, i.e., with regard to on the part of the female for a desire for investment. It's a relationship based around genuine love rather than simply what the woman can get out of it, but basically her desire for gold. And so you'd expect, therefore, such relationships, which are overwhelmingly in the direction of a woman who is much younger than a man in terms of these age similar relationships, you'd expect those relationships to be less stable, less happy and less long lasting, because the woman is clearly in it just for financial resources and whatever, and she's therefore not going to, the other issues are played down, are not as important, and therefore she's not going to bond as strongly with the man. She's not a person that creates strong bonds. She's a gold digger. Now, the other extreme, and this is much rarer, as I said earlier, this is extremely rare, the opposite extreme, is when it is a woman who is much older than the male. Now, this is very, very rare. We all know cases where it's the other way around, of a young woman. Donald Trump, of course, is a very famous case. There are two famous cases I know of where it's the other way around, where it's a much older woman. Those are Alex Salmond, the former Scottish First Minister, and Macron, the President of France. In both cases, you have a wife who is more than 10 years, in fact, often even much more than 10 years, older than her husband. Now, what's going on there? There's not actually that much research into the psychology of the kind of men that are attracted to such women. Although there is research into the kind of women that are in these relationships. Basically, let's call them mummy relationships. Let's distinguish between a gold digger and a mummy chaser. So the nature of these relationships, according to the data, is that the women involved are deeply loving and committed. So the women are very loving and committed to their partners. That's what has been found. These are extremely loving, committed, kind people. Basically because they are mothering the husband stroke son. Now, what this would imply, of course, is that the level of bonding is extremely strong. So that these are going to be, you could argue, even highly K-strategist relationships. Remember, you would expect a man to be interested in youth and beauty, and also those would be his key motivations. Now, if he were a K-strategist, then those things, youth and beauty, would become less interesting to him. He would be more interested in ensuring that his offspring would flourish in the environment, and therefore in ensuring that their mother was a kind, conscientious, agreeable, altruistic person who would make a very good mother. He would be more interested in ensuring that the relationship survived, and therefore he would be more interested in bonding and in similarity and in genetic similarity, such that strong bonds, very strong bonds, can be created and whatever. And so what you would expect is that as you move away from an R strategy, the male interest in having a youthful bride and a beautiful bride would be played down. They would become less interested in this, and they would become more interested in a bride who was kind, who was loving, who was generous, who was genetically similar to them, and all of these things that helped to create a more K ecology. And consistent with this, it's been found that the desired age difference in certain parts of sub-Saharan Africa for a man is 7 years. He wants a girl that's at least 7 years younger than him, whereas as we move into somewhere like Western Europe, it becomes 1 or 2 years. That makes sense. The youth thing, they are trading. It's all about a trade-off. These kinds of relationships in evolution are all about trade-offs between different things which are desired. What you ultimately want is a young, kind, loving, beautiful, high conscientiousness, whatever woman. That's what you ultimately want. But you're not going to get that. It's very difficult to get that unless you're a super alpha male. And so consequently, you make all these trade-offs between all these different factors that are important. And so what you would expect is that a K strategist would trade things like youth and beauty, which are our strategy traits, for other things. Therefore, the age gap would become smaller. And it might even tip in the other direction. So someone like that, okay, he might want a woman that's younger than him, but he, what's more important to him is that the woman is kind and agreeable and conscientious and potentially a good mother and all this. And so he might completely trait age. And so as you move into these ecologies, you start to get more and more people where perhaps the woman is a little bit older than the man. And where perhaps the woman is maybe 5 years older than the man. But this doesn't matter. I mean, he could still pass on his genes. He's taking more of a risk, it could be said, in terms of passing on his genes, because she's older than him. He's probably reducing the number of potential children he'll be able to have by going out with a woman that's 5 years older than him. But that doesn't matter, because remember, if he's a K strategist, then he only wants a small number of children, and he wants to invest a great deal of his resources and love and whatever in that small number of children. So that's fine. And now, even if it's 10 years older than him, again, he's taking a risk with the fertility, but you can still see what you would expect this to be is a highly K strategy male, and perhaps there's a great deal of love and bonding and genetic similarity there, and that explains why the male has got a wife that's 10 years. He's had to make a trade-off, remember. He has made a trade-off. He's traded off severely youth and beauty. But even so, you could say he'd be a K strategist. And perhaps the woman, likewise, would be a K strategist, because she wouldn't be selecting for an older man. But once it's really extreme, this is the problem, that you get to a lesser extent with women who marry older men, you're actually trading away fertility. So you've got something that's pathological. You've got a situation where if you marry a really, really old man, you're trading away your fertility as a woman, if he's impotent or whatever, or low sperm count, or the kind of things that go with being a very, very old man. You're trading away your fertility. And this is when it becomes pathological. So what would be this is something abnormal in evolutionary terms, to get yourself into a situation where you are attracted to somebody or you want to be with somebody and you will be infertile as a consequence. And then you can start to say, well, what's going on? What's going on here? What explains this? And it seems to me that there's two key issues that explain it. The first is simply exploitation. So a very, very young woman marries a very, very, very old man. There's no way they're realistically going to have children, or there's no way even that those children are going to be necessarily particularly healthy if they do have children, because autism is, there's an age effect, a paternal age effect on autism and basically on the dysgenics of the child. So what they're in, clearly they're just gold diggers and they're in it for the money and they're just exploiting the male. And that's pathological in the sense that you could argue that these women are basically psychopathic. They're just gold-digging, exploitative people that are in it to get the money out of the male. At the other extreme, you do get cases, it's much rarer, where you'll get these young men who will be prepared to go through the disgust of having sexual intercourse regularly with a much older woman, as I sang in the beginning by the Thomas Durfee song, Would You Have a Young Version of 15 Years, a much older woman, so that they can ultimately just get her money, so they can exploit her and get money out of her. And you get cases like this in Finland, actually. It's a big problem of these old women in their 70s who are widows and they're spinsters and they're lonely and they go to places like Gambia. And these Gambian men prey on them and groom them in a kind of reverse grooming system. And then they just give them lots of money in return for sexual favours and feigned sexual interest from the Gambian man. This is a big problem in Finland and Sweden. So there's that. So that's pathological. And the other pathological issue, and there's not actually that much research on this, it's mainly clinical research. It's mainly people, there's something called Kimball Young, for example, who's looked at it. So where they do assessments of individuals, rather, because it's so rare, remember, to have men that have much, much, much older wives, older to the extent of, you know, a man in his 20s going out with a woman in his 70s, that sort of thing. Now, if this is not to do with exploitation, if this is to do with something else, if this is to do with genuine sort of feelings of love on the part of the man, the evidence from these clinical studies is that these men seem to be very, very high in neuroticism. They have a deep craving for love. They are extremely insecure. They are extremely lonely. And what the woman offers them, because she is older and she has money, she has resources, and so she allays their neuroticism and their anxiety and their fear about the future in that way, because she has resources. But also, she is a replacement mother. They are deeply insecure people. They can't stand up for themselves. They are lonely. They have deep inner problems. And what she offers them is almost like a dog, is unconditional love. She is they seem to be these deeply, deeply loving people. So therefore, these kinds of men like Emmanuel Macron and Alex Salmond, what we would predict based on these clinical studies, and they're only clinical studies, remember, is that these are insecure, lonely, sort of broken people with this deep craving for love. So there's something wrong with them. They're very high in neuroticism, some sort of personality disorder, some sort of problem in development. And this makes them attracted to a much older woman to the extent of sacrificing their fertility, sacrificing the hope of ever having any children. I haven't found any clinical studies on the nature of the women that are like this. But one would predict, again, perhaps a deep insecurity, a big hole in their lives, if you like, that could only be filled by this eternal mothering that will never go away, because the child is your husband, and therefore the child will never grow up. Okay, well, I hope this is a bit of interest, and if you have enjoyed it, then please feel free to help support my channel, which you can do through Subscribestar, through Patreon, through an offline super chat. So I really encourage you to do that. I put the link below, and through Bitcoin. And I would like to thank Mr. Presley Moon, whose idea this was. And if you have any ideas, then do get in touch. I'm always interested in ideas for discussions. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!